Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shachtin Show on Blog Talk Radio on every weekday and weekend evening at either 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, 10 or 11. And we aim to get at the facts and get at the truth through honest discernment and intellectual honesty. Now, I want to give an indication of what I'm going to talk about tonight, very briefly. Jesus made statements about children. In fact, he seemed to give great concern and understanding of children. He said the kingdom of heaven was consist of children, with that thinking, the thinking of a child. And so before I go into this, first of all, I do in terms enter into these biblical topics of biblical revelation and theology because I am a I have an MDiv from Princeton Theological Seminary in biblical languages and studies, and I'm very concerned about theology and Christian thought. So before I go into the topic of Jesus and children, if I have time, I'm going to go a little bit about my background. I'm going to say this. This is a politically incorrect show. We don't go in for political correctness. We don't go in for political rhetoric. We don't go in for media lies, media falsehoods, or the big lie. We're not concerned about that in this show. We're concerned about getting at the facts and getting at the truth through proper critical thinking. That is really what this show is all about. Second thing is, this is a Christian show, and I adhere to the Christian faith and to Holy Scripture and to the truth of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and I also adhere to the ancient creeds of the Church, the Nicene, Athanasian, and Apostles' Creed. And I concern myself if I read something, I want to read C.S. Lewis, I want to read G.K. Chesterton, I want to read T.S. Eliot, I want to read Calvin and Luther and Bonhoeffer, I want to read the Epistles of Paul, I want to read John Milton's Paradise Lost. These are what the books that I want to read, because these books give me knowledge and thought. Of that, in terms of Christian thought, that secular books do not provide me in the same way. Third, this show has a political element. I'm conservative, but I'm also very concerned about poverty. Jesus had a great concern for people in poverty. He was very concerned about it, and many of his followers were so-called sinners. Or better put, people who were ritual law and moral sinners, and he himself took on poverty as a human being, and I have to say that I'm very concerned about people with poverty and underclass people, because Jesus had that significant concern. He himself took on poverty, came down from heaven, lived a human life of poverty, and died on a cross, executed. What more humble person can you find? What more poverty? We said of Jesus, who is this man that eats the publicans and sinners? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? This is the thing they said of him, because they felt that can anybody so adhere to poverty and underclass status than Jesus did. Next, I want to talk about these two radio shows I run, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. These two shows have Christian shows. They have a Christian background, and I've had many, many visitors from all over the world visiting these shows. Over 4,000 visitors from 80 countries have visited my podcast show, and many, many people, Muslim people from Muslim countries, have visited my Blog Talk Radio show. And I take note And one of my closest friends is a philosophy student from Iran, a Muslim, who was very interested in my Christian books. I welcome all faiths, all thoughts, all ideas, all opinions, and all nations and all races, because I know that Jesus loves all people and died for all humanity. Muslim, Buddhist, Shinto, whoever they are, he loves them and died for them. The fact that they are not officially Christian does not concern me. What I'm concerned about is Jesus' love for humanity, for all humanity, without exception. I want to now go into the fact I'm a writer. I've written 10 books, Christian and legal books. I've written legal books, select legal topics, volume 1 and 2, and Christian books, such as Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables. The book on the parables, I think you will find of quite value, because the parables represent the thought and intellect of Jesus, the Son of God. They are very much worth reading again and again to get at and understand the thought of Christ, which is extremely profound and deep, as reflected in the parables. This book is a book of the interpretation of all 41 parables. I've also just recently written a book on the Psalms, all of my interpretation of 150 Psalms, and the Psalms, to me, are the spiritual treasures of the church. John Donne, the Anglican poet, said of the Psalms that they are the manna of the church. He meant what he was talking about, and he knew what he was talking about. The Psalms are great Hebrew lyric poetry. I read them in seminary. They're Hebrew lyric poetry. They're beautiful. They are astoundingly poetically great, in my opinion. You will never tire of reading the Psalms in any translation, much as you might tire of other books in a translation. You will not tire of the Psalms. The Psalms are spiritual treasures. They bring us close to God and close to Christ. They're great. Their greatness, their lyric, their poetic greatness is astounding, and their intellectual greatness is equally astounding. You cannot tire, and you cannot stop reading the Psalms. I also am writing other books. I have 4 books of blogs, literary, philosophical, theological blogs. I'm writing 4 books on those blogs. I'm also writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I've written 1 chapter of that. I'm writing book on the book of Job. Job was an Edomite, and he was tried by God. The book is in the form of a Greek tragedy. It's a great book. It's a wonderful book. It's well worth reading 100 times. The book of Job is a greatly profound exposition of the theology of God and how he tried and tested this man. And Job was able to understand and withstand these tests and grow as a person. Next, I've written other books. I've written a book on evidence, Res Gestae, found in Bender's Consolidated Evidence. I've written a book on an encyclopedia article in New York Jurisprudence on criminal law demands and notices, criminal law hearings, demands and notices. I've written a book, a chapter on paternity in a book, New York Family Law and Practice. It's a chapter on paternity I wrote. I think you'll find it of interest if you read it. We all have little time these days to read, but reading to me is the way to find our way out of this world of darkness. Let me say this, and I'll say it once. A world without books, a world without great books, is a world sinking down into darkness, in which we will be run down to the ground entirely and significantly, which is what's happening today. Without books, we are on the ground. With books, we rise up and we are developed as a person. Mortimer Adler, in his great book, said how to read a book. He said images like television, computers, and movies are drugs. He said the books, it is only in books that we're able to rise up and develop ourselves, and to stretch books, stretch great books, stretch our mind. He was right. Without books, our mind remained fallow and unstretched and undeveloped. Or better put, we have the potential of our society without books, without reading books, without reading the great books, we have the potential of sinking into horrible darkness. What are the great books that I can think of? I know one that I know that I love, John Milton's Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained. It says Amsenagonistes. Milton wrote this epic poem, Paradise Lost, while he was blind. And when he was blind, he wrote Paradise Regained in Amsenagonistes. He was a very great one of the great. His mind was so great that he was able to overcome this blindness and write an epic poem. That epic poem had a great topic, and it was a very insightful topic. He believed that we felt that the fall of man into sin in the second chapter of Genesis was the critical event in human cosmic and human history. The other books that I love, War and Peace, Anna Karenina, Tolstoy is one of my favorites, one of my all-time favorite writers. When you read these writers, your mind is stretched and developed beyond some modern trash that will get you nowhere in terms of thinking. These people are the greats. Their books are the greats. And if you don't read these books like Paradise Lost or War and Peace or E.M. Forster, Passage to India, if you don't read these books, you will have a life that is lost. I've written three law review articles, the Syracuse Law Review on Criminal Procedure, bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. I've also written two books on Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal. I've written two books on that journal, the United States Educational System and Sexual Orientation Discrimination, even though I disagree with our gay brothers and sisters in their behavior and their lifestyle. I do not want them discriminated against. I don't want them attacked. I don't want them prejudiced against. I don't want them hurt. And I also, in my article on the United States Educational System, I identified the crisis for our young people in our educational system. Well, let me conclude, ladies and gentlemen, with talking about the topic of Jesus and children. We have to understand Jesus. He didn't go after the most educated people. He didn't associate with the powerful people. He didn't. He didn't concern himself with those people. And one of the groups that he did talk about and concern himself with was his invitation to children to approach him. The incident can be found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. The narrative is that children were brought to him for Jesus to touch, and the disciples rebuked the children. Jesus' response was to allow the children to come to him, stating that to them belonged the kingdom of God. The narrative ends with a statement that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. At this point, Jesus is seen in taking the child into his arms, blessing them, and laying his hand upon them. The incident with children is found also in not only in Matthew chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, it's also found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. So what are we going to make of this? What is Jesus saying? Apparently, he doesn't focus on smart people or very smart people or very clever people or very powerful people. He says that children, the kingdom of God, he says they were brought to him to touch, and the disciples were critical and didn't want it. And Jesus' response was to focus and to allow the children to come to him, saying that to them, and this is very important, belonged the kingdom of God. And then he said, with a statement, that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And at this point, Jesus is seen as taking the children in his arms and blessing them. This is a somewhat puzzling incident that's difficult for us to grasp and understand. The world, as I know it, and I've known it for some years, values strength, power, wealth, sophistication, and being smart. The world often values people on how they look and dress. It does. Particularly in today's society, there's a great stress on appearance and clothes and look how people look and dress. So when Jesus says we are to be like children to enter the kingdom of God, what is he talking about? Why does he tell us to be like children and not be thinking, smart, clever, powerful, important people? Why does he seem to say that we should be like children? So what are children? What are the qualities of children that are so important to Jesus that he says the kingdom of God is, it consists of children? And he who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. So why is he saying this? What are we going to say? It's very difficult to grasp. Children are generally seen as innocent, trusting, and obedient. And they're certainly not equal in intellect and experience as an adult. They're quite unequal, actually. And the most that can be said about them is they're generally seen as innocent, trusting, and obedient. So why are these qualities so desirable? The children are not equal in intellect and experience to an adult. No child has ever written a great symphony, written a great book, or saved someone's life with surgery, or has had, in general, some form of success. Children are not equal to adults. There's an inequality there. But why does Jesus say we have to be like them to get into the kingdom of God? You know, and I know, no child has ever written a great symphony, written a great book, or saved someone's life with surgery, or has had some form of success. In fact, in the present world, there seems to be a great value on celebrities, regardless of what kind of person they are on a moral or ethical level. There are all kinds of celebrities. Maybe they're worthwhile. However, the world values celebrities. And the great criterion of being a celebrity is having a great deal of money and having our picture and image featured in the media. So the society hardly holds infants as the benchmark as Jesus does. Why does Jesus tell us to be like children? What is it about children that he values and admires and wants people to adopt? Children are generally seen as innocent and trusting. That's true. Those are good qualities. But they're certainly not equal in intellect as you an adult. No child has ever written a great symphony, written a great book, or saved someone's life, or has had some form of success. And in fact, the world doesn't really, our present world, doesn't seem to be very concerned about little kids. There seems to be a great value in being a celebrity, regardless of what kind of person you are, and certainly being a child. It's not going to bring you celebrity status. I'm sure there are morally worthwhile people who are celebrities. But the criterion of being a celebrity is not being like a little child. It's having a great deal of money and having our picture and image featured in the media. Society hardly holds infants as the benchmark, as Jesus does. Our world values celebrities. So I'm going to offer the following analysis and explanation of Jesus' statement and act and his position. Children offer to adults unconditional love. Perhaps what Jesus means here is that the criteria to enter when you enter the kingdom of God are humility, unconditional love, and obedience to Christ and God. It's the unconditional love that children are able to offer that Jesus values and really thinks is very important. perhaps Jesus means here is that to enter the kingdom of heaven, we have to be humble and unconditional love and have unconditional love and obedience to Christ and God. It's obvious that Jesus doesn't necessarily want very smart people. Children are not terrible smart. They're kind of innocent, don't know too much, and he values them. In fact, it is quite clear that being very smart, having a lot of money, or having a lot of education is not what Jesus values. He does mention that being like a little child is what we should be like. I think it's noteworthy that Jesus chose working men and fishermen to be his disciples. Perhaps the best way to put it is that only as a child, when our mind is not clouded with lies, can we have the sort of relationship to God as he wishes. It's only in the love of a child, the trust of a child, and the humility of a child that we can approach the holy God. It's only being like a child, humble, innocent, trusting, not necessarily smart, not necessarily educated, not necessarily powerful. Jesus doesn't seem to want those qualities. He says, be like a child. And what he means is we be humble, have unconditional love. That's what he looks for. Those are the qualities he looks for, I think, not in being very smart. And in fact, it's quite clear that being very smart or educated or powerful are irrelevant qualities to Jesus. And I think it's very important to note that Jesus chose working men and fishermen to be his disciples. And perhaps we might say that it's only as a child when our mind is not clouded with lies and falsehoods that we can have the relationship with ourselves, fellow human being, and with God as he wishes. It's only with the love of a child or the trust of a child and the obedience of a child we can approach God. Perhaps this particular narrative on Jesus and children can be understood only as telling us that the values the world accords to people are not the true values, that the true values are of an innocent child, of his love, of his trust, and of his humility. Perhaps you might say that it's only as an innocent child who is capable of great love, trust, relationship, and humility that we can approach and know God and Christ. It is only a child who can understand his true nature to God, which involves those qualities. So perhaps it is possible that when we look back at the creation of our parents, they initially had the innocence and qualities of a children. That's Adam and Eve. At the beginning of time, when we look at the creation narrative of our parents, we see that they had the innocence and qualities of a child, and they fell from that infinite, and in that fall brought evil into the world with death, destruction, and a humanity that leaves much to be desired as compared to the childlike innocence of our first parents. So we can only say that this statement about children are not the true values that Jesus wants us to embrace. He says to be like an innocent child, giving love, trust, humility. And he's saying that only as a child can we understand our true nature in relation to God. Perhaps it is possible when we look at the creation of our parents to recognize and understand they are the innocence and qualities of children, and they fell from that innocence. In that fall brought evil into the world with the result of death, destruction, and a humanity that leaves much desired as compared to the childlike innocence of our first parents. Well, I think I'm getting at the truth here that the world's values of power, money, sophistication, for Jesus, these are irrelevant. They're not important. And he says to be like a children because children are innocent and they exhibit unconditional love. And perhaps what he's saying that if you want to be with God, those are the qualities you need to have or should have. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk. And I hope you go back to the biblical narrative on Jesus and children and read it. And read it again and again and understand Jesus' position in this respect about children. And about how we should be like children, not like celebrities, not like people with power, not with greatness or some kind of the world's valuation of greatness, Jesus defines greatness in the innocence of a child. That's how he defines it, that's how he sees it, and that's what he says we should be like. I hope you've understood this little narrative, little talk tonight, and enjoyed it. And I hope you'll look at the biblical narrative on Jesus and children and take a look at it and read it and read the biblical narrative about Jesus and children and think about it and give thought to it. Let me review where you can find this. You can find this particular narrative in you can find it in a chapter of my book, chapter 41 of Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and you can find it on page 114. On page 114, more to the point, you will find it. You must read this biblical narrative again and again on Jesus' response to children. It's found in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, and in Luke chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Read these passages, and I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot read the Bible often enough and with great and with constant attention. In the words of Christ, in the Bible, is great truth that can be only grasped when we read it again and again and again and reach the level of thinking that Christ invites us to reach. I hope you've enjoyed this talk tonight, and I hope you'll look at the chapters in Mark and Luke on Jesus' relationship to his children and think about what I say here and think about what he said in those gospel narratives. Thank you.